Diva Cáda Gael, a Throttigly Sports Centre on Scariff Bay Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. You're welcome once again to the Sports Centre Show here on Scariff Bay Community Radio on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM and on the TuneIn app. And on today's show, it's all camogie and hurling. What a busy weekend we have here on Scariff Bay Community Radio. And we are joined in studio, as always, by co-presenter Pat McNamara. We'll have regular analysts Brendan Foley and Danny Chaplin, and Scariff Intermediate Manager Mark McKenna in studio, social distancing approved to go through the intermediate semi-final, that mouth-watering clash of Smith O'Brien's and Scariff. And on the camogie, we're going to be joined by the Scariff Junior B management of John Daly and Fiona O'Mahony, the Junior A management of Brawford and Carmen Dillon, the Fecal Intermediate Manager, Fecal Killeen Intermediate Manager, apologies, is Gerald Conway, and finally, the Kilkishan Bodaig selector, Jim Lynch, as they look forward to our various finals. And now we're joined on the line by the giant managers of Scariff O'Gunlow Junior B Camogie team, who are playing the county final against Partine tomorrow in Father McNamara Park, is John Daly and Fiona Mahoney. You're both welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Thank you very much.
John, we'll start with you, John. Look at, I suppose for the last 12 months, it's the senior camogie team of Scariff O'Gunlow that maybe were the shining lights, and unfortunately, they are out of the senior final. But, you know, people tend to forget, but there's also a very creditable junior B team, or junior B team, they are in the camogie and appearing in another county final, John.
That's correct, yeah. The juniors have been training with the seniors all along, so it's a good mixture, a great season, really. Short season, but we really got a lot out of it.
Yeah, and John, look, you're playing Partine tomorrow, and I suppose, you know, it is going to be a difficult game. There's no doubt about that. But John, it's great though to know at the beginning of the summer we didn't know if there was going to be any camogie. Look, it's all over in a short space of time. But it's nice to have a chance to get silverware at the end of the year.
Yes, but Fiona and myself will discuss about this. We feel we started off at the beginning of the year, and our main aim was to give all the girls in the team, we've 28, 30 players on the panel, and giving them all games, and we've nearly succeeded that in every game. And that's been fantastic for us.
Yeah, and Fiona, it's a word that's used a lot in sport these days. It's all about development, and you know, you have to keep young people, either in hurling or camogie, you have to keep them interested. And Fiona, in fairness to you have given a lot of players games, and at the end of the day, the only way you'll keep players interested in the game is by giving them games.
Yeah, absolutely, because we have a fantastic panel. We have a mixture, quite a cross-section of older players. We have right down to under-16s, and they have mixed so well, and there's been such great leadership from the older players that brought on the girls, and really they are enjoying it. We're just back from a training session tonight, and some of our under-16s who are playing tomorrow evening in their next round match turned up, to be with the girls tonight, you know, as part of the training. So that whole camaraderie has been fantastic right the way through.
Indeed, Fiona, you know, following on from the senior county final and the Munster county final, Munster championship victory last year, you know, there is a buzz about camogie. Okay, there is disappointment that the senior team aren't in the final, but at least, you know, there is a good spirit there, and the club is vibrant at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, even the senior team are all rallying behind her. The minors are going well. The under-16s are going well. There is that, you know, almost a big kind of revival or whatever of camogie. You know, we have even players who have come back to join the Junior B team who haven't played in years and absolutely having a ball with it as well. So, yeah, definitely there's a great vibrancy around the club. And with respect to camogie.
And John, you might tell us who you played in the previous rounds to get to the final.
Well, we already played against Partine, a good, tough, hard game. We played against Kilkee, a fantastic game up in Father McNamara Park. Whitegate, yes, all great games. All these teams hate us. Well, we beat them, but they never gave up, and they were played with the best of spirit.
Yeah, and John, there's no doubt, you know, you're playing Partine again in the final, and yeah, there is no doubt, you know, when you play the same, when the same team, you play the same team again, obviously they will learn more about you, and I suppose you'll learn more about them as well, but
You might tell us about some of the, if you want to mention, there's a good mixture between the older players and the younger players, and you might tell us who are players we might look out for tomorrow.
Well, we can't be giving away our secrets, so we have a few hidden secrets for the match.
Oh, because there's a few jewels in the crown about to appear, so.
Yeah, no, seriously. We have Sarah Skelly, Claude and Ash.
We have some great... Abby Walsh now is a fantastic young player coming through, as you know.
Yeah, I saw her playing the minor, yeah.
Bonnie Wiley Murphy, so solid in the back. And Claude and Ash, what a captain. Great leadership, you know what I mean. Great looking after the girls.
And we haven't a bad goalie either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, the goalie isn't too bad. We've seen her somewhere
before. And he's not biased.
In fairness to Rachel Daly, and she being calls in any other club team in the county, never mind, you know, so a county goalie and, you know, a very good keeper. John Pardeen, where do you see the strengths of Pardeen, or what can we look out for in that?
Well, last time we played against them, they are one of their players. Well, two of their players weren't played against us, so they have a good midfield, and they have a, what's the name of the player?
Sarah Hall.
All right. She didn't come on until the end of the game, and so it's going to be a different game. We won't be complacent, and we'll play every game as we play. We'll just take them on.
And Fiona, you know, the experience gained from winning the winning the under-16 championship last year, the experience gained from the minors going through the minor championship, and they're in the minor semi final, and unfortunately had a great game last week against Fíochla Ciananina, only losing by a point. You know, the experience gained from these games, added to the fact that, you know, the likes of Sarah Skelly, Rachel Daly, who, you know, they have provincial medals already. You know, it is a good mix, Fiona, and augurs well for the future.
Oh, absolutely, a fantastic mix. You know what I mean? Because they're so skilled. I mean, we have players playing on the team who are playing 16s minor, and they're playing the junior. They're chomping at the heels of the senior team. You know what I mean? There's such an appetite across the team, and skill level is just phenomenal, I have to say, you know what I mean, especially amongst those youngsters. I happened to be involved in the under-16s management last year, so very proud of those girls, and to be delighted to be able to continue on with them now into the junior and hopefully through to this cup final now.
And indeed, John Daly, we'll finish with you on it, John, that, you know, obviously the senior team are out, they were beaten in the semi-final. You know, a lot of these girls will be pushing the current senior team hard for their places next year. And that's what you want. Yes. It's all about development and making the team and the club stronger.
And I think some of these players, by coming, they could have come on this year, but by not coming on this year, they really, really are ready for next year. I'll tell you, they are. After playing a full season at junior, I think it's essential that they're battle hardened, you know, for senior camogie.
And John, that's an important point. You know, a lot of the time you could throw in young players into the senior team, and, you know, they could get lost very quick and lose hope. And, you know, it is the right way, in terms of development, it's the right way to bring them on, give them the year at junior, and then they're ready to break into the senior and be full of confidence.
Yeah, and hopefully, we're not counting our chickens right at that, but for the club, if we do win Sunday, we could have three teams in the club next year. You know, a junior A and a junior B and a senior team.
It would be a tremendous achievement, and I know, you know, Camogie is flourishing, and you, as again, alluded to the point that Fiona made earlier, an important point, giving the players games and giving more players experience is essential. For the club going forward. John Daly and Fiona Mahoney, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us here. We wish you the very best of luck in the final again, Pardeen, and hope maybe we might get a word or two on Sunday morning after the final, all going well. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And once again, thanks to Scariff Junior B Management for taking the time to talk to us here. And now we move up the grades, and we go down another club in East Clare. It's the Broadford. They're in the Junior A final against Corrifin. And we're joined by the Cahirlock of Broadford Camogie Club, and a member of the management of their junior team is Carmel Dillon. Carmel, you're welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Thank you very much, Leo.
No problem. Carmel, a big day for the Broadford Camogie Club junior A final. Going into a final, I suppose, against a team Corrafin very much the favourites in this one, Carmel.
Oh, they'd have to be the favourites, yes. Definitely they gave us a good run for our money there about 2 weeks ago. But saying all that, we'll be up for the challenge.
Yeah, I heard. Not, I heard by all accounts that Bradford held a good bit back. But Carmel, the club in Bradford is, you know, going from strength to strength and going well at underage. A lot of girls back playing the Camogie, good numbers there, and you know the club really looking forward to the final here against Corrafin.
Oh, of course, yeah, Leo. Our underage is going well, and yeah, we're very much looking forward to this final. 4 years ago since we've been into the final, you know, so we're hoping to go up to intermediate. That's our aim anyway on Sunday.
And Carmel, you might tell us who Bradford, as you said, you've already alluded to the fact that you played Corrafin. Who else did you play in this Junior A, Carmel?
We played Aina Kilnamoran last weekend in the semi-final.
A tremendous game by all accounts.
It went extra time, yes. It was a tough game. Aina are always a tough opposition, and again, in the earlier rounds, we'd beaten them well, but in the semi-final, they were a different team, Aina. But thankfully, we came out on top with some great individual performances from the girls, but also a team performance, you know. And the subs that came on were a huge influence on the game.
And Carmel, you know, for the listeners tuned in here on Scarpe Community Radio, you might tell us a small bit about the team or who some of the big names to look out for.
Well, sure. Our number one is Aoife Boland, our goalie, and she's been playing very well this year. Our captain is Aoife O'Brien, well-known O'Brien family in Bradford for hurling all over the years.
Oh, Aoife's well-known up around this part of the world, all right, you know, there's no doubt about that. Yep.
That's right. She went to school up that direction, didn't she?
She did. She went to Scariff and won an All-Ireland Junior Championship with him, so, and was very much to the fore at full forward. Yes, indeed.
Yes. And we have two county girls with Karen Ryan at centre-back from Bridgetown and Niamh McQueen from Bradford. They play on the Clare Junior team. And my own daughter, Aoife Dillon, will be up front somewhere as well.
Yeah, indeed, good players. And you know, in fairness, and Niamh McQueen played interprovincial junior for Munster. So a player of maybe capable of playing at a higher level, Carmel.
Well, hopefully going forward, our young players are very strong and very good, you know. We have a good full back in Catherine Donlan, who was injured now and is back, please God. So, as I said, the younger players are coming good. So, that's the work that's been put into the club over the years, you know. So, that's making our team stronger.
Yeah, and indeed, Carmel, it's not all about individuals. It is a team, you know, a club that, you know, gels together, always produces, you know, hard work and invariably produces good teams.
Yeah, unfortunately, Alexander Troy got injured there earlier in the year. Against Corrafin, actually, she's a huge loss, a huge badminton player as well. Yeah, it's definitely a team performance. We're kind of balanced all over, you know, which is coming to the fore now, really.
And Carmel, who else is on the management team along with you over this junior team?
Paul O'Connell and Richard Chute.
All right. Oh, yeah, Richard, a driving instructor, so he'll be able to drive on the team. So,
he is anyway. I don't know, but I know they're brilliant and famous, and the last day, both of them, Paul is a technician really behind it all, and the last day when we really needed them, both of them stood up, to be honest. So, yeah, we'd be lost without them, in fairness.
And Carmel, looking at Corrafin, you know, they have the bulk of a team that went very far, went to an All-Ireland Championship, I think, there only a number of years ago. You know, a lot of the girls back playing again. So, look, it's a challenge that Bradford will look forward to, and look at Bradford, there's no doubt Bradford will leave everything on the field, and you know, hopefully all going well, be an intermediate team come Saturday evening.
Well, that's the plan anyway, Leo. Yes, please God.
Carmel, as always, thanks very much for talking to us here on Scariff Bay Community Radio. We wish you, the girls, the management and the club all the best of luck, and hopefully that Junior A Championship will be back to Bradford on this occasion.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carmel.
Bye bye, Leo.
And thanks to Carmel Dillon of Bradford for taking the time to talk to us. And now we move up to grade. We go to the intermediate final. And we have on the line the manager of the Fecal Killinina Camogie team, Gerard Conway. Fecal Killinina, who are going to take on Clooney Quinn tomorrow in Father McNamara Park in what looks to be a mouth-watering intermediate Camogie final. Gerard Conway, you're welcome once again to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Thanks, Leo.
Ger, I suppose looking at the outset, looking at the group, looking at the teams in the intermediate championship, it looked inevitable that it was going to be Fecal Kilinina and Clooney Quinn in the final, and it transpires that is the case.
Well, I don't know whether it looked inevitable or not, Leo, but that's the way it has finished up anyway. We were always hopeful after being there last year. That was the aim, was to get back to it again.
And so indeed,
thank God we have.
Yeah, and indeed, Ger, I suppose, looking last year, the day of the final, you know, unfortunately, things didn't go right for Fecal Kilinina on the day. A classic game. Unfortunately, you know, St. Joseph's of Pipji at the end. It seems a long way back at that time, but now there's a chance tomorrow to go back, and you're back exactly in the same position again, and time, to, you know, to turn the, redress the balance.
Oh, yeah, it is. As I said, that was our aim, was to get back to it, and sure, little did we think at the start of the year, maybe there was thoughts that we wouldn't even get to play, not at all to get back to it. So, it is great to be, even as I said, to be playing. And it is better again than to be back in the final next Sunday.
Yeah, and better off, hopefully, taking the Murray Cup home. And, Ger, look, at without saying it, we have spoken off the air, we've spoken a number of times. Clooney Quinn, you know, you played him a number of weeks ago. They are in the league part, in an upper draw. I know maybe both teams might have been shown their full hand on the evening. But, Ger, tomorrow, Clooney Quinn, a team coming down from senior, you know, a lot of advantages in that. They are going to be formidable opposition, Ger. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no doubt, Leo. We're under no illusion. The challenge is ahead of us next Sunday. As you have said there, like, they have years spent above at senior, and they have girls that have played in senior county finals, like, so... There's no doubt the experience that they're going to bring to it, and even the age profile of the two teams, like, could be miles apart. Like, we're still a young, upcoming team, like, but we're going the frame of mind, like we said, to give it everything. And sure, as I said, that's all you can ask of anyone, and hopefully we'll come out on the right side of it, and we might have a little look on our side this year, hopefully.
Chair, Pat Mackey, knowing these players as we do since they were so young, you know, there's a huge amount of skill in the team all through. Definitely beautiful, stylish players. And the only question I'd have is, you know, winning finals, especially against the likes of Clooney Quinn, will take a lot of physical, you know, exertion as well, and maybe intensity. Do you think you'll be able to match Clooney Quinn in that aspect of the game?
Well, sure. I'd be hoping we are, Pat. We'll have to match them, because, as I said to Leo there earlier on, like, they have a wealth of experience, we'll say, and knowledge, and as I said, their age profile is way above ours. Yeah. But there's no doubt the skill level of our girls is phenomenal, like, and as I say, if they can be in the right frame of mind Sunday, they won't be found wanting, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think as a management as well, you must be impressed with the way, you know, they've dug out wins, maybe when people expected they'd win, maybe easy enough against maybe Clarecastle Ballyhale the last day in the semi-final. I thought, you know, when it has to be dug out, you're well able to dig it out as well as play the nice stuff.
Oh, yes. As I say, we knew we were expecting it from Clarecastle. We'd already played them earlier on the year. And I suppose we got a very good start against them that time in the league. But we knew coming into meeting them in the semi-final, like, that they were going to set up totally different and make it awkward and make it more physical for us, like, so, which they did. There's no doubt the girls, like we said, they put the shoulder to the wheel, like, and when it had to be won, we'll say, when the chips were down, do you know what I mean, the girls stood up, and thankfully we came out of it on the right side of it by 5 or 6 points, and we're in the final Sunday, so hopefully that'll all go according to plan.
And Ger, I suppose, looking at the final last year, which was disappointing, there's no doubt about that, but look, you know, the hurt that the girls felt on that afternoon, right, I would imagine that's more than enough motivation to drive them on to a huge performance on Sunday, Ger.
Oh, yeah, as I said, we've lost two or three finals there in the last couple of years. We lost a league final as well last year, do you know what I mean, playing it a few weeks after the county final. We said it to them at the time, to use that hurt, do you know what I mean, to bottle that time, and to use that hurt and carry it on for next year, do you know what I mean, so hopefully we'll say that they've all taken that on board, and that they don't want to feel the same feeling they did coming out of Meath League, like, this time last year.
Yeah, and indeed, I suppose, Ger, just a quick word on Clooney, you know, I know you've analysed them quite well. Where do you see their main strengths, Ger?
They have several main strengths coming from the back, Kira Grogan, do you know what I mean, or two Duggins, Orla and Avian, Mairead Ryan, and of course Deirdre Murphy at full forward, like, sure, she's an exceptional camogie player, like she has been for years. People talk about her age now. That's immaterial. Like, she still has a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience. Do you know what I mean? She's going to be very hard to deal with and very hard to handle. Like.
And I suppose, Gerard, that is going to be the test for the Fecal players, but Killinina players, but there's no doubt they will have gained from last year's, you know, the experience. And Gerard, do you think maybe that the extra year stand down, in hindsight, that the extra year stand down intermediate maybe might have been a blessing in disguise?
Well, sure. As I said, certainly we're still very young. Like, we have probably 5-6 minors probably playing. Do you know what I mean? Even there's 3 or 4 more that were only minor last year. Like, our age profile is very, very young. So a lot of people have said that to us. Like, do you know what I mean? The next 3 year down isn't going to do us any harm. But still, at the end of the day, like, everyone plays camogie or they play a sport. You play to get to the top level and to play at the top level. So there's no doubt if we won last year, we'd have gone up very happy and done our best to try and compete in senior. And that's the aim this year, is to get to senior and to stay there, hopefully, if we get there.
Yeah, and I've no doubt that you will compete and compete well at senior, all going well for 2021. Joe Conway, we wish you, the management team and all the players, the very best of luck, and hopefully that the Father Murray Cup will be resting in Fecal Killinina come Sunday evening.
Thanks, Leo.
Best of luck, Chair.
Well, thanks a minute.
Thanks, Pat. All right, cheers. Bye.
And once again, thanks to Ger Conway for taking the time to talk to us. And now we move on to the senior grade, and it's the senior Shield final between Kilkishan, Buraik and True Kilnara. You know, both teams who performed very well in the earlier rounds of the championship. And we're joined by a member of the Kilkishan Buraik management team. It's well known, former O'Callaghan's Meadles hurler, Jim Lynch. Jim, you're welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Thank you very much, Leo. Delighted to be on it.
Jim, I suppose, looking at the group stages of the senior championship, if one team has to be declared the unlucky team of 2020, it has to be Kilkishan Buraik. You know, Macker are playing the senior county final later on, and Kilkishan Buraik overcame that challenge. And I suppose maybe looking back at the championship, obviously it was the first night against Kilmealy is where the championship dreams, you know, when you analyse it afterwards, is where the problem started. But Jim, at the end of the day, it's all about development for Kilkishan Buraik, a team, a club on the up, and contesting the Shield final is no mean achievement, Jim.
Yes, Leo, you're 100% right. It was the Kilmealy game was our downfall, really, at the end of the day, you know, because we had been playing Kilmealy and we'd been doing well against them, and we had targeted that game to win. It didn't go well for us on the night. We had a sucker punch just before half-time, which put them back 5 points in front again, and we had a goal disallowed, which would have put us in the lead to start off with. Now, we never got the lead in that match, we'll say, but it was that match was our downfall at the end of the day.
And Jim, to regroup then and come out and give a top-class performance against a team going contesting the county final in Newmarket, you know, and I suppose if results went to plan, even in round, you know, obviously it was always going to be, you know, everyone was watching the scoreboard in the last round to see what happened, and unfortunately you lost out by a number of points, you know, given you know, probably needed to beat St. Joseph's, obviously needed to beat St. Joseph's by more, which was never going to be an easy task. But looking at the group stages in general, Jim, is there great progress made by Kilkishan Buraik?
Well, there has been progress made now in the last number of years, alright, you know, and going forward, if we could further that progress now on Saturday by beating a very good True Kilnara outfit, it would be another step forward in the right direction, Leo, you know. But we had a mountain to climb after the Kilmealy match, but we set our sights out and we did beat Newmarket, and we should have beaten them by 5 points, but they got a goal in the last minute, which made our task even harder going into the Dura match, you know. So we have made progress, we'll say, like, and we're hoping to make a bit more. With a bit of luck on Saturday, maybe we can turn over True Kilnara.
Yeah, indeed it is. The Camogie, that group has been fine margins. And I suppose, Jim, looking at True Kilnara, they're probably a team kind of like their hurlers. They're a team that are a very good team, but promise an awful lot more than they deliver.
Yes, that's true, but I hope they don't do that Saturday now, Leo.
Exactly. our sentiments entirely here, Jim. And looking at the Kilkishan Buraik team, a lot of young players, you know, a lot of experienced players in it all. So a nice mixture there, Jim.
Yeah, we have a nice mixture, mind you. We have, you know, a nucleus of 7 or 8 very good players, and then you have a few stalwarts as well added on to that, you know, and a few new girls coming in. So, you know, we're going in the right direction, and we feel we have a very good chance on Saturday. You know, you have Elena Ryan there, and you have Kate O'Gorman, and They had Roisin and Hannah Minogue, you know, and a few others as well. Like, so they're all very good hurlers, and they're all hurl for their county at some stage, you know. And we have new people coming in that will hurl for the county as well, I have no doubt about that. So we're very enthusiastic about the future, you know. And, of course, we have the Winter League coming up as well, so we're in a very good position, you know, at the minute.
Yeah, and to be nice, Jim, to finish the year really with, you know, the Glenormand Shield, and look, it to be nice to have it in the cabinet, you know, you coming on the back of the Intermediate Championship, followed on by winning the Division 2 League. You know, it's a step in the right direction, and nice, it would be nice to have another trophy on the sideboard.
Well, it would be fantastic, like, and looking forward to next year, Dean, like, you know, you'd really have your sights set on winning the Senior Championship, which isn't an outlandish statement, you know what I mean? So if you could just do the business now one more time, win that, and going forward then set our sights for next year, 2021, and hopefully this old damn COVID will be gone at that stage and everything will be back to normal and we'll be able to celebrate it fully.
Yeah, that's a great statement, Pat.
Jim, Pat McNamara here, just wishing you the very best in that final against Stroke Clonera, first of all.
Very good,
Pat. Great to see you coming back to East Clare. But the second thing is, you know, the club, the senior club scene in Clare for the last year or two, we'll say Scariff Gunlow are the Munster current Munster champions and Clare champions. Ye beat their conquerors in the market already this year. Stroke Clonera, very strong, as we know. Kilmaley coming up. Aina Kildemona, of course, as well. You know, with that level of powerful senior teams in the county, I mean, it should really be able to produce a serious squad for the county set up whenever they're playing again. Do you see it that way?
Well, you know, I do, because you wouldn't leave out Clooney Quinn there and Fíochil Kilinéine either, two very good teams and could be in the senior championship, you know.
Bottom will be in it, I suppose, next year, yeah.
Yeah,
sure,
the bottom one will be, I suppose, yeah. But, you know, Camogie can turn around very quickly in my mind, you know. It's small things, small margins, like, and even if you're getting beat at county level by 10 or 12 points, you know, them games can all be turned around very easily with extra training and things like that, and techniques and striking and, you know, things like that, good management and good coaches, all that type of thing. So the players are there, there's no doubt about that, and we should be performing a bit better, I feel. We're not, I don't know for what reason that is, but going forward with teams like that, and, you know, Scariff Gunlow doing so well last year, I know Kilnamona was a very good team, Kilmaley, you know, and Sooks and Lara, you know, Newmarket, of course, ourselves, we'll have a few on it, maybe. I think that they should be there battling with other county teams as well for the O'Duffy Cup or whatever, you know.
Well, anyway, Jim, yourself and Sean O'Hacker are getting it right in the Kilkishan Bodaic anyway this year.
Well, we are in Liam, of course, and we get on very well with Bodaic. We've had no problems with them, you know, things like that can be tricky. Amalgamations, but we get on very well. The girls are very happy. We're a very happy bunch training, and I can see them, you know, going forward to even get better than that, hopefully.
Yeah, and indeed, Jim, you know, as you said, both teams combining well, and, you know, numbers are in the field, and a great spirit between the two clubs. And hopefully, Jim, you know, come Saturday evening, that there'll be another trophy on the sideboard, and, you know, look forward to 2021 with relish. Jim Lynch, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us here on Scariff Bay Community Radio, and we wish you all the very best of luck for the weekend.
Thanks very much, Pat. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Best luck.
You're listening to Sportsline on Scariff Bay Community Radio, 88.3 and 92.7 in East Clare, around the world on scariffbayradio.com, and on the TuneIn Radio app. Sportsline is sponsored by Derg Credit Union.
And now we move from Camogie to hurling, and one of the most mouth-watering games ever to hit East Clare is going to take place later on today in O'Gurney Park, or tomorrow in O'Gurney Park in Six Mile Bridge. Is the Intermediate Championship semi-final between East Clare rivals Scariff and Smith O'Brien's, and we're joined now in studio by very good to see here on Scariff Bay Community Radio, is the Scariff manager, Mark McKenna. We're also joined by our Killaloo representative and regular analyst here on Scariff Bay Community Radio, Mr. Brendan Foley, and also joined to get the neutral opinion as well, all the way from Bradford, the Intermediate Champions of 2019, it's Denny Chaplin. Lads, you're all welcome.
Thank you, Leo.
Pat, we're going to start with you though, Pat. This is a game that everybody, you know, there's no doubt about it, if people could get into this match, it would be a huge crowd.
It would be massive, actually. I think Scariff are a team that's been kind of improving all along, and we know they're going to come at some stage, and you know they'll be open this year. Obviously, a semi final is a semi final anyway. You know, so you could say we are nearly there, but you know, a lot of fine players, and as I said, a team on the up. Smith O'Brien's will be totally buoyed up by their most unlikely victory, certainly by half time, a normal time. The last year it was unlikely that they have a victory and be in the semi final. So, two teams on the east coast of Clare by Loch Derrick. It's an unbelievable fixture, and I won't say there's any love lost between them, but you know, great rivalry there, and I don't think either team fears each other either. I think both will bring out the best in each other, so it's a massive game to look forward to, Leo.
And indeed, Brendan, turning to you, Brendan, last Sunday, you know, the victory over Corfin, which is a real Jekyll and Hyde performance, Brendan. The first half, very, very poor. But in fairness, the second 30 and the extra time, you know, Killoo showed all this good in hurling in Smith O'Brien's.
They did, I'd say. It was just as well there wasn't supporters in there, because they probably would have gone at half time with the performance in the first half, so they would. But, you know, in fairness, I suppose, look, when we spoke about that match coming in, we spoke about the month layoff. And that was a very a worrying concern for us coming in. And I think it did prove the point that you could see the rustiness, you could see that they were flat, and it took a long time to get going in the game. But in fairness, the Corfin, they turned down the challenge, and it wasn't all about being the month layoff. Like, you know, they came with a serious intent, a physical challenge. They were really going very well. The sending off was a major burden for Corfin, I'd say, when they're looking back in the game. But it took us about 45 minutes to really get to grips with everything and get a platform going, only for Tommy Redden striking the free as well. You know, there was a lot of our forwards didn't deliver, to be honest about it. And, like, you know, I know the switch of Michal in the corner didn't work, but the ball was just continually coming in from the half back line, the midfield of Corfin. They just took over that period or that passage of the field. And, you know, when there's constant ball coming in and the wizard was on fire, he was ripping us to shreds. And, like, when we were standing above at half time, like, we were even glad to be down 8 points, because if it went into double figures, I don't think I'd be sitting here tonight talking to you. I'd be talking about Corfin and Scariff, to be honest about it.
But in fairness, Brendan, you know, and you have to give credit to the Killoo management on this one. They made the required changes. You know, they see what was gone wrong. And indeed, you know, to score 216, which is a great score, even in a full game, you know, to do that, you know. But all the players really stepped up the intensity at the start of the second half. They said they'd have a go, and then there was a chink of light, and to the one thing, they took full advantage.
You know, we always said, you know, momentum is a big thing, and the big thing for me was, right, we got Nolan over on the wizard, which should have been even done earlier. Michal went in as a sweeper, we shored it up. We were calling for that even 15 minutes into the game above. The space that was in front of our full back line was criminal. Michal Ryan, you know, is a good hurler, but he's one of these guys that, you know, you have to put him into the right spot. And he picked up the ball around the half back line, distributed it into the forwards. And, you know, Declan Power going in at centre forward was a major, major key for us. He actually laid down the challenge when he came into the game, and it rallied everyone around him. Nolan was a powerhouse at full back. Next thing, we started winning the dirty ball on the ground. Mark Stretch tore into the game. We were getting grips all over the field where we weren't getting grips at all in the game. And slowly but surely, we got it around. And the one thing I kept saying was, tap the ball over the bar. And we done that. And the next thing, the goal came. The goals came at right time for us as well, like, you know, throughout the game. But, you know, in fairness, every one of them, they put their shoulder to the wheel. They turned the shackles off. They had a cut. And, you know, at the end of full time, you could see that there was a massive momentum change and twisting into towards Smith O'Brien's.
And indeed, Denny, you know, last year when Bradford won the Intermediate Championship, they had to overcome the challenge of Smith O'Brien's in the semi-final, which was probably one of your toughest games of the year. And there's no doubt, Denny, you know, that the experience that Killoo will have gained, even from last year, you know, is a big advantage going into the semi-final later on today.
Yeah, it is. Of course it is. We said practically the same team that played Bradford last year is playing. You know, they have maybe one or two young lads coming in. But the experience gained is huge. But I thought their fighting spirit in the second half, now I only watched it on a 4x2 screen. So the one thing that stood out for me last Sunday was a couple of things. Well, the major thing was Nolan going on young Cahill, yeah. And that was a major changing point of the game. Just even looking at it, he was saying, why isn't Keane Nolan on him?
Mm.
You know, when he did, he seemed to shackle him, got to grips with him, and we all know Nolan is a fantastic player. Last year, he was probably Killaloe's best player against Bradford, and he's continuously up there. And, you know, even going looking forward to tomorrow himself, I presume, if the management have anything, they're going to be putting him on Mark McKenna and, you know.
Mark McKenna, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We all know what we're talking about here, but,
McKenna would like to see him.
But, you know, it's a battle that just everybody is looking forward to, because I rate Nolan as one of the best defenders in the county. It's a mystery to me why he hasn't been called up before to county panels. I said this even last year. And the best young hurler since Tony Kelly in the county is Mark Rogers. So, you know, it's a big highlight for me now to be looking forward to seeing that at the weekend. But with looking back at Killaloe last Sunday, they did show great fighting spirit. They were in trouble. We have to say, look, at they got the rubber to green. They got a couple of dubious calls from the man in black. I know Mr. Foley won't like that, but they did get a couple of dubious calls. But they took advantage of them, you know. And what team doesn't? I mean, against Bradford last year, they got the same calls maybe, but Tommy Redden had four or five wides and he had an off day on the freeze, you know, and there was nothing in it at the end. And you rightly said it was one of the toughest battles we did get last year. And, you know, it was Bradford and Killaloe was a cracking game of hurling last year. A good open game of hurling. Likewise tomorrow. Scariff and Killaloe, both good hurling teams. So I'm really looking forward to a major game here tomorrow.
Mark, you know, enough about last Sunday's game, you know, and in fairness, congrats to Killaloe on getting to the semi-final again. Mark, yourselves, you know, you're back where you were 12 months ago. You know, everyone remembers what happened in Dr. Daly Park last year. You know, it's probably a motivating factor maybe for you to get, you know, to be back there and, you know, try and redress that balance. You know, Brendan alluded to the point there that the break that they had, the four-week break, was a difficult for them before they got into the pace of the game. Do you see the break the Scariff had with 3 weeks? Is that going to be a factor going into the game tomorrow, Mark?
Well, you could look at it that way, Leo, but if we learned anything from last Sunday, you have to address that in a learning way, that you have to start properly and attack from the outset. Now, that whether we had matches 2 weeks ago or 1 week or 3 weeks, the fact that it's Gareth and Killaloe, both teams will be starting at the very beginning. So that can't come into it as an excuse. You have to be ready, you have to be up for the fight, and you have to take it from the throw-in. Going back to last year, the only thing we did with that was, it was in the memory bank, you just touch on it every so often, that you'd be hoping they'd be learning little things got out of it, that if situations like that arise again, that you'd be able to deal with it. That would be the only thing you'd go back to there for. But you're right, we're back in a semi-final. It was the goal at the beginning of the year. We haven't won one, neither have Killaloe. They've lost, I think, 4 in 6 years or something. This is our third one on the trot. Look, at one way or the other, everyone is looking forward to it. As the lad said, it's one of the matches of the weekend. It's local. Pat says, unfortunately, people won't be able to get into it, but between Scariff Bay and Clare TV, there'll be lots of interest in it. And on Monday, there'll be an East Clare team in the intermediate final. So.
Yeah, and Pat, to follow on what Mark is saying there, you know, look at last Sunday's game, you made the point yourself that last Sunday's game for Killaloe was probably worth 3 weeks of training. You know what I mean? You wouldn't get in 3 weeks of training. Mm. Scariff now have to come up to that mark. You know, they haven't played since they beat Tullow the last day, you know, and, you know, I know they would have trained quite well in between, but the start of both teams tomorrow is essential.
Yeah, semi-final is usually a very tense affair because, you know, nobody wants to be the team that, you know, didn't get to the final and have that day. And I mean, both teams, as Mark correctly said, have had, well, I suppose Killaloe have lost a few, and I mean, Scariff need at this stage to pass that stage as well. So, you know, there's an awful lot of stake in a semi-final, and it's an awful place to go out of a championship. So, you know, if you lose the final, let's say you had the whole build up, you got there, you learned from it, you had the big crowd, and you say you're losing a final, you might lose one to win the next one. But semi-finals are different, I think. This game tomorrow will take a totally new complexion. I mean, the semi-finals are the last game that Kildare played will have no bearing on it at all, I think. I think they'll be a bit physically better prepared and tactically Kildare, because I know their team better, as you said correctly at the beginning, because they learned a good bit the last day. And it isn't all about Keane Nolan, Marky, Mark Rogers. I mean, there's five or six or seven or eight good, great battles there as well. I think midfield, you know, I thought the likes of Eddie Burke had a serious last 20 or maybe half an hour the last day, got a great score.
The stronger the match we've done.
Yeah, Tomás McNamara for Scarlett, fantastic time for him as a midfielder. So that battle alone, you know, it's going to be dogged, first of all. Anyway, it's going to boil down to free taking a good bit of it, I think, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but you know, as the later in the year, you tend to get more, maybe, you know, malaise and bunching and just tension, and both the fact that it's a semi-final and the fact that the weather has decreased and pitches might get slightly heavier, you might get more malaise, you probably have more freeze. And two very good free, Tommy Redden was unbelievable the last day. He put over two from about 85 yards and missed the 65 after, because it's nearly too far in for him. But you know, he recovered and got great scores after that again. And we know the Scariff have the free taken as well. So I wouldn't dwell on Mark McKenna and Keane Nolan. It could be some other place. If it happens,
is he talking again?
Danny, what has Danny done to us? On Mark Rogers and Keane Nolan, it could be completely in other sets of lads tomorrow to decide the game. But that's what makes it fascinating, and I can't wait.
Just to clear up something now, lads, I won't be playing.
Are you sure?
you'll be close enough to the line, as you know. But Brendan, you know, Pat made an important point. There's a lot of other players there on the field that can make a contribution. And it's not, invariably, it is always someone different is going to come out and make a contribution. You mentioned Eddie Burke there, Pat, who really shone in the last half an hour, last Sunday. He dominated midfield. You see the score that Maloney got was probably the best score in the Championship in Clare this year.
Yeah, you know, it was a cracking score. Like, I watched it back actually the other night, and geez, that was all of nearly 85, 90 yards and in the corner. And I met him after the match, and I said, geez, Fizz, great score. I was just clearing the toilets. You know, he was clearing his lines. But you know, there is David Goff, had a great game the other day as well for us. You know, I think this is going to be a tactical game. Like, you know, we know that Rodgers and probably Nolan are going to match up. I think that's a given.
You sure it's not McKenna now?
No, I'll be marking McKenna. but it's going to, what's going to happen after that? You know, I do believe this will be very tactical, and there'll be a few little things that could surprise each other from both sides. Look, before Aero Ball is thrown in from Smith O'Brien's, I'd just like to thank Scariff Club for their great sportsmanship in moving the game to Sunday. There was a request put in by Smith O'Brien's to move the game from Saturday to Sunday for recovery reasons, really, I suppose, nothing else. And you know, there is a great rivalry, but it's a healthy rivalry. And I think the sportsmanship the Scariff have shown just goes, it continued on. And, you know, just like from everyone in the club, just like to say thanks very much for your great sportsmanship.
Indeed, Mark, I think that's going to end. There's no doubt about it. Once you hit the field in O'Garney Park tomorrow. But Mark, it's going to be an intriguing battle, an exciting clash, and look at everyone looking forward to it.
Absolutely, Leo. Like, these are the matches you want to be involved in, without a shadow of a doubt. Like, Denny will be looking at the bridge match maybe from a different point of view, but for the likes of us around here and things like that. Like, if you go back to 2 years ago, it was on a smaller venue with a bigger crowd over in Bodaiken. It was a cracking match that came down to the wire. And why would it be any different this Sunday? But no, these are the days these are the days you live for. Yeah,
Denny, we're going to let you make the call on this, and who you think who's going to be in the intermediate final to face Tubber as the clock is moving on us. And that's what Denny. You know, a top class battle, intriguing battle. At the end of the day, Denny, who will be in the intermediate final?
If I was to make a call, I'd go for Scariff, just based on the two rounds so far this year. The other thing I'd like to say to Brendan there, really, is there, if he had asked me and I was over the team to move the match, I would have no bother to Friday night.
Pat, that's why we wouldn't ring you, Denny.
Pat, to follow on, Denny has gone for Scariff for this one. Are you going to make a unanimous vote, or are you going to give, you know, you started off your teaching profession down there in Killaloe. You know, you were very impressed with him last Sunday. Are you going to give him the nod on this occasion, Pat?
Well, I'd never like to harm Matt McKinnon's health, so I'm going to go for Killaloo, because he doesn't want to be tipped. He doesn't want two of us going for Scarra, so I'll go for Killaloo by a point.
So that's it. That's the, a 50-50 battle, which is definitely what it's going to be. Denny, turning to the senior semi-finals, your beloved Bridge in the semi-final, coming up against the Townies, and do you know, second time in the championship. Yeah. This ain't going to be easy, Denny.
No, and Airog were impressive last Saturday. David Reedy, huge addition back into the team. Fitzgerald at the back. You know, Airog are really, they're going well, but the time of the year, the size of the Bridge, I mean, they're probably the biggest, most physical team left in the championship. They're hard beat. You know, they're quietly getting on with their work since they beat Bradford. They'll be ready. Still fancy them. You know, they have ball winners, match winners all over the field. Airog have Shane O'Donnell. They have the marquee players, but have the five or six outside of the, you know, I just think they come up short when they come up against a team like the Bridge. And the overall balance of the 15 players, I think the Bridge are the better balanced team. We'd say, we'll call them the lesser lights. I think the Bridge have the stronger lesser lights of the two. And now, having said that, I thought against Bradford, we could have made it hard for the Bridge. You know, we left 1-4 behind us in the first half. I don't think we were ever beaten 6 mile Bridge, but it showed they can be got at. You know, Airog probably have better forwards than Bradford. And what I'm saying, we left 1-4 behind us in the first half. Airog mightn't leave that 1-4, and then you're putting the Bridge on the back foot, so, which they haven't been yet this year. You know, they have been comfortable, they haven't played well, but they haven't had to play well. So, yeah, look, I still think the Bridge probably have too much for Airog. Airog maybe a year, 2 years down the road.
Airog, Pat, you know, you covered the game for Scariff Bay Community last Saturday, and, you know, Airog very reliant on Danny Russell to a large extent to get the bulk of their scores.
Yeah, a fair bit. I mean, Shane O'Donnell hasn't really fired. No, that's not to say he's playing terribly badly, but he hasn't really fired like an inter-county forward of his quality. You would expect now, maybe he'll decide that this weekend is the time to do it. But I was quite impressed with Airog. I was very disappointed in Feakel overall. I think they never really hit the ground running at any really, apart from the first maybe 5 or 10 minutes. They were just disappointing, and maybe the layoff again could be an issue. Who knows? We don't know. He's have excuses. Well, I tipped 6 mile Bridge. Myself, when we were going around the table here a few weeks ago for an ultimate winner, and Danny Lee took the words out of my mouth. They're hard beaten, they're going quietly about their work, they're very physical. You know, they'll have a spread of scorers, they won't be depending too much on one or two. And I think, even though I think Airog are better than are way more physical than I thought they'd be, for instance, I associate the Townies were kind of throwing the ball around nicely with their, you know, their hurlies and flicking here and flicking there. But I'm telling you, they shoved into Feakel and they matched them at least, and maybe more so, in the physical stakes. So I stick with the Bridge. But again, this will be a very good physical game, and it should be a really, really good game to watch as well.
Mark, this is the third time now that the Bridge and Airog have met in 2 years, and you know, familiarity breeds contempt. But do you see the Bridge still too strong to hold that? Will it still hold off the Airog challenge?
I think so. Yeah, I'd agree with Danny there. They haven't been tested, and they are where they want to be without playing well. And I think the championship really kicks off for the Bridge now, because they were always aiming for this, to be in it at this stage. And as he says, the hard work has been done, and you might see a different side to the Bridge Sunday. But that's not to say that Airog, on the back of last weekend and momentum again, they'll fight it all the way. But I think the Bridge will have enough room. Yeah,
Brendan, you're giving it a clean sweep for the Bridge, or do you give Airog an inkling?
The interesting thing for me is if the Airog start scoring goals, like the Bridge has scored no goal in the championship this year. And, you know, if a few goals go in past them, I still fancy the Bridge. But, you know, if one or two goals start leaking in there and there's 3 or 4 points down, like, you know, I know they're well experienced in the whole lot, but, like, I talked to a few of your old lads that's working down inside with us, and they really fancy this. It's the way they were talking, it's nearly a do or die for your old to start making a statement in Clare Seen or Hurling. That's the way they're looking at it.
And are you still? Are you going with here? You're going with the Bridge?
I give it a good chance.
Well, good man. No, we turn to the other semi-final. East Clare team, Pat McNamara, O'Callaghan's Mills, a rejuvenated team this year in the relegation final last year against Tulla. We save our Tulla are now, and O'Callaghan's Mills, What a turnaround in a short space of time, semi-final of the senior championship.
That's true, but I think, Leo, we can overlook or we can overstate sometimes the issue of teams being in relegation battles, because the senior championship can be so close and clear. You know, like 2 or 3 points or, you know, an injury to a player or a free decision could lend you in a relegation game, whereas...
It can lend you in the final two.
Or the opposite. But I'd love to see the Mills. I mean, Bellier have a lot of good individuals, we know it. I mean, Tony Kelly and Brennan was flying at the last day. I don't know what state he's in of fitness, but Gary Brennan was flying it. I mean, Lillis back there going well as well. And there's lots more, but they've an awful lot going for them. And there's experience that they gained there a few years ago, getting to Croke Park as well. There's still 9 or 10 of those players there, I'm sure. But the Bills, I always remember saying about the Bills last year and maybe the year before as well, they're never beaten by much. They're always there or thereabouts in the matches. You know, they might have lacked a spark maybe to finish a game or maybe get enough scores to finish games, but I think they have a real chance. Again, isn't it a great sign of Clare Hull that it's very hard to call this one? I mean, there was often years in Clare Hull you knew who was going to win these games. You know, there was one or two teams dominating and the rest couldn't match up to it. So, I think the Bills have a real chance. It all depends on how they handle this occasion. I know that they haven't been short of playing big matches, but the point is it's time they made a statement too, the same as Aero, and I just think they might just do it again if Tony Kelly doesn't get 9 or 10 from play, and I think he has to be man marked, but that happening, I give the Bills a chance. Yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, I the Tony Kelly thing is the one that had decided for me. Like, have the Mills somewhat, not even to hurl him but to contain him, and if they can structure in such a way that he's, I know it is probably impossible, but if he's limited in play, he'll pop up with the freeze, but he'll also pop up with around the place from play. But it's how they deal with his threat and his energy, and he dictates games. That would be the big question for me. But if they do, I'd give him a chance. I would, definitely.
Danny, 2 years ago when the Mills were in the semi-final again, in the same position against Bellier, they left, you know, and the clock is running. Jack Brown left loose around QT Park. There's no way they're going to allow that to happen again. And as Mark and Pat said, he said, I want to contain Tony Kelly. No matter what you do to him, he's going to get so many scores. How do you see it panning out, Danny?
Yeah, I think it's intriguing. Tony Kelly is Tony Kelly. He's not just the best hurler in Clare. He's probably one of the best in Ireland. Do you put 2 men on him? Do you put 3 men on him? Do you just let him score 7 or 8 points and just take it that he's going to score them? You know, that's the question for the Mills. I thought the Mills 2 years ago were very unlucky. I thought with 5 minutes ago they had a chance of winning that. Bellier went on and won it. Went on and won the final after. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Mills being in the relegation final last year. But as Pat said, I'd pay no notice to that.
Yeah.
One bad result and things can go against you. You know, I'd look more at the Mills 2 years ago with the same team as what's there now. We're in the semi-final against the same opposition. Gary Brennan was stretchered off 2 weeks ago in a football game. How has he recovered? And he's a vital player to him. You know, so I think the Mills have... What have they got to lose? Everybody expects them to be beaten, so go out and have a cut at it. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they did win it. I wouldn't be shocked.
Brendan, to call finally with you.
Yeah, I think the big thing for the Mills here is if Gary Brennan isn't playing, it is a major plus, because I thought the last day he absolutely powered into the game for Bellier. So it's a toss. If Brennan isn't playing, I give the Mills a serious chance. If he is, I think Bellier could do this 4 or 5.
Yeah, indeed, lads. With that, we're going to draw a conclusion to the show and here on Sports and here on Scariff Bay Community Radio. My thanks to Pat McNamara, Mark McKenna, Danny Chaplin and Brendan Foley. Also thanks to John Daly, Fiona Mahoney, Carmen Dillon, Ger Conway and Jim Lynch for the input into the Camogie. Thanks also to our station manager, Jim Collins. So all that remains is to wish all the teams the very best of luck in their championship games over the weekend. So from Leo Doyle for Sportsline, for Scariff Bay Community Radio in association with Dáil Credit Union. Until we meet again, it's Bannock Day, August Lawn.